Well, hello again, listeners. This is Jamie L's Pause Space. Guys, I'm so sorry again for the long hiatus, but hopefully I can get this back up and running again. I'm so thankful for all of the listeners that are tuned in to listen to my old messages and my old episodes, and I just pray that you guys just have been inspired in your life by these messages, and knowing that God is with you, and that His grace just abounds so much more in your lives and in the people that you interact with, and that He's just there. But so guys, today I am going to continue the Fruit of the Spirit series. I'm going to do the Spirit of Gentleness. I want to do another upload after this, the Spirit of what was it? The Spirit of Faithfulness. As you guys know, I've been doing the describing each fruit of the Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, that indwells into believers. But even for you, like I said, even if you don't have a relationship with God, these are godly fruits that you can still show and exemplify with other people. A little update on myself, guys. I've been super, super, super busy. Just been doing all kinds of things, with school, and just I moved and just a whole lot of things. But I definitely miss coming back on here and talking to you guys about the Word of the Lord, about just showing who God really is. Because it's one thing to read the word and you're just like, oh man, this is so difficult for me to understand. And I just try to give a perspective on what the word says, but what it means to me also, like breaking it down and what it means in more easier terms. Most of the times I try to. I just hope you guys are blessed by this. Okay, guys, so let's just get right into the word. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this week, Lord, as it's coming to a close. We thank you for keeping us safe. We thank you for going before us in every situation that we encounter. And Father God, I thank you, Father, for the wonderful rain, and then the sunshine, and then the snow, and just a mixture of different temperatures that we've been getting here in Michigan. But I just thank you that you are the God, the author, the finisher of our faith, and that you'll help us to be more righteous and to be more like you, Father God. I pray that the listeners are inspired and are encouraged to do good and to love on their neighbors as themselves, Father God. I ask, Lord, that with this message that you'll help me to get across everything that I want to get across, Lord. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would press upon me to say the most important things that'll get this message across. I pray a blessing on Anchor and all the other places where they share your word. And Lord, that you bless us with also. Show us yourself in so many ways, Lord. Help us this week, this coming week, Father, to just see how you are working in our lives, Father God. Help us to want to serve someone and to give back and to just selflessly exemplify a certain deed, Lord, to them, Lord. You have the capability. You know our ways. You are familiar with all of our going out and our coming in. You said that you'll guard us with those things when we do good for others. You said that we're really doing good for you. Help us to just continue to just stay steadfast in your word and to to love on others instead of ourselves. I thank you and I praise you with the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys. So we are on the fruits of the Spirit, which is, hold on, let me just adjust everything right now. Okay, yeah, so we are on the fruit of the Spirit, which is gentleness. Just give me a second. Make sure all of you guys can hear me. Okie dokie. Okay, so let's go to Galatians 5:23, chapter 5, verses 23. We're just gonna flip it. We're gonna be going a few different places today, but it'll be okay. It'll be all working out well, okay? So Galatians 5. Okay, so sorry, verse 22. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 fruits, and gentleness is the eighth fruit of the Spirit. So far we've did love, patience, goodness, I believe. And you know, like I always say, God is a God of order. So there's a reason why he put these fruits in this specific order. Because you have to remember that the Word of God is inspired by the Holy Spirit. You know, so when the Holy Spirit spoke through the prophets in this time, you know, he had them to write everything that God wanted it to be written. Because remember, this God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit looked to God, which is the Father, and the Father told the Holy Spirit what to write. So that's why the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, bears these nine fruits in believers. Okay, so it's the ninth, it's the eighth fruit of the Spirit. Okay, so I guess I would just start it off as saying that gentleness is not really seen in the world. A lot of people don't really think about a big difference that gentleness can really make on a person. Let's see what God says about gentleness. Okay, so the first time that I really heard about gentleness is God saying a gentle and quiet spirit, saying in, let's go to 1 Peter. And God saying that he wants women everywhere, not to be adorned in jewelry. Let's go there first while we're here talking about it. Okay, 1 Peter 3. First Peter 3:4. 3:4. Yes, okay. Okay, yep, let's read it. First Peter chapter 3:3. It says, "Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, let it be that of your hidden self," or inner self, rather, "the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great value, great worth in God's sight." Okay, so basically God is saying here, he's talking about like this chapter is all about women, married women and their husband, the husbands and the wives, like how he wants the husband to conduct himself towards the wife, how he's saying, husbands to love your wives, like Jesus loves us, which is the church, and how women should respond to that. So he's saying that He doesn't want us to wear like elaborate clothing. I don't think it's specifically for wives. I think it's just for women of God. If you're a child of God, your outer appearance and the things that you wear should not be the main thing. Like people, I mean, it's nice. Like what's nice when I wear my hair all nice and have it up, but it's not who I am. I really want people to see the character of God. 'Cause, remember that God desires a, humble and contrite spirit. He said, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. So, and sometimes those things that we have, it can become an idol in our lives. We can be so dependent on that as making it our worth. And we know that God is our worth, that God is where we get our worth, our validation through Him. So, it's not to say that we can't have it. It just should not be, take place up in our lives. So this is the first one that I can remember that really talks about a gentle and quiet spirit. But I'm just like, what is a gentle and quiet spirit though? I mean, I know what being quiet means, but what does it mean to be gentle? Okay, so let's go to Galatians. No, we just left it. Let's go to 1 Timothy 2:1. I might have to break this up, guys, into two parts because it's just so good. First T Timothy 2:1. It says, I urge them. This is the instructions on like worshiping God. It says, I urge them, first of all, that Timothy wrote, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, and that man is Jesus Christ, who gave himself up as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. So I just read all the way down to verse 6, but I mean, this all just really goes together. God wants us to first have to pray to him. He wants us to be obedient to his word, to keep his commandments, and to just strive to live a peaceful and quiet life. That's the key thing. It's peaceful. So I'm just like, okay, well, maybe that's part of what God is saying when he's saying the quiet lives. This means he's saying living a life of peace, which I can understand it. Okay, so now let's go to Colossians 3:12. Colossians 3, verse 12. Once again, it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Okay, so kindness, gentleness, and patience. Okay, we're gonna read one more. Well, two more, and then we're gonna go to one of the scripture readings that really talk about exactly what it means. What it, break down what it really means. So 1 Timothy 6:11. First Timothy 6, verse 11. It says, but you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, holiness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who were testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to him be glory and might forever. Amen. Okay, so yeah, flee from this and pursue. God wants us to pursue love, gentleness, and endurance. So we know that we can't produce all of these fruits of the Spirit, even though that it's in a believer, but the Holy Spirit helps us to cultivate all of these 9 fruits in our lives. Because remember, like, without, apart from God, we can do nothing. I can say all of this stuff on the word of what God wants, what God, you know, I want this, want that, but it's okay to apply it for, you know, head knowledge, which is okay, but the Holy Spirit applies it and helps us to retain it in our heart. The whole Bible is God's love letter to us. So without him, without the Comforter, the Holy Spirit helping us, we won't be able to keep these things. These things would be burdensome to us. And I think that's where a lot of people get upset, you know, about, because they feel like God just barks up all of these rules and laws and things like that. But I'm going to get to that in a minute. The difference between what I was just saying about the law of God. I'm going to get into that part too in a little bit. But I will just say that, you know, God is love, and love isn't a feeling. Love is just a choice that you make out of obedience to God, you know. And I was confusing that in a couple of sermons when I was talking about love. Like I said, okay, I guess people feel, you know, love too, I guess, you know, from a physiological perspective. But I mean, I guess that can be applied just like honeymoon stage or whatever, which is okay. But real love is knowing the Father, being obedient to the Lord, and making a choice every minute of the day to honor his commandments. That's love. And we know that there is no greater love than that person that has laid down his life for his friends. And that person was Jesus Christ. Because remember, that's how God demonstrated his love for humanity, so that we would be restored in a relationship with him. Okay, so let's one more scripture. Let's go to Matthew 11:30, and then we're gonna let's go to Jeremiah 10:24. Jeremiah chapter 10 verse 24, if you guys have your Bibles. But if not, you can always come back and then write it down. Jeremiah 10:24. Chapter 10, verses 24 says, discipline me, Lord, but only in due measure, not in your anger, or you will reduce me to nothing. Pour out your wrath on the nations that do not acknowledge you. Okay, wait a minute. I think I might have 10. So another translation, my translation in my one Bible says that, correct me, O Lord, in gentleness. And this Bible I'm reading now says, discipline me, Lord, but only in due measure, not in your anger, or you will reduce me to nothing. So I think that that's all about God's grace and his mercy for us, that he doesn't, you know, because God disciplines in love. He does. He disciplines his children. He said, what father does not discipline his child in love? Then if not, you are illegitimate children. So, you know, it's for discipline that we have to learn, but he does it He does it for our good. Okay, let's go to Matthew 11:30. So we know that that God means that that gentleness could mean just his grace and his mercy. Okay, so now let's go to Matthew 11:30, verse 11, chapter 11, verse 30. I always get those confused. Okay, so that's my idea so far. I think that's what it means. Verse 30, it says, the last part of it, which is Matthew 11:28, it says, "Come to me, all you who are heavy, and come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So God is gentle and humble in heart. Then he says that he'll correct us in gentleness, right? Okay, so now I want to go to what scripture is that? That is okay. So another area, the only place. Wait, what am I doing? What am I doing? Okay. Just guys, you know I'm always working on my organization, but it still always comes together because all things work out for good to those that love God. Anyway, so thank you so much, Holy Spirit. I'll say, okay, so let's go to Proverbs 15:1. I think a lot of people are probably familiar with this verse if they've heard it a lot or not, but Proverbs chapter 15, verses 1. It says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So not only is gentleness mercy, it can be grace, but it's saying in gentleness, like a having literally a gentle voice, it'll turn away wrath. And it makes complete sense because, I mean, if you think about it, somebody's angry and then you're trying to get even louder than them. None of us is hearing each other, you know, but if a person is gentle, and I think if a person responds in a gentle way, I think that the dispute will end because it's just like, okay, well, I'm not trying to overpower you. I'm not trying to cut you with you know, hurtful words and things like that, you know. So I like that. I like that scripture. I don't know. I think a friend of mine shared it to me. So let's go over a few more verses. Let's go down to verse 4. It says, Proverbs 15, verse 4, it says, "The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit." And goes to what I was saying, that if you're soothing, if you're gentle, and a lot of people think that gentleness is like a sign of weakness, but it's actually you're strong because it takes incredible strength and godly character in order to really just respond in a gentle way for someone to someone when they're that hostile. But this says a soothing word is a tree of life. Okay, like a tree of life. So the same tree of life that was in the Garden of Eden. Think about that. That's a tree that's just so fruitful. So that's what God is saying when he's saying that, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. I agree. You know, we say harsh and mean things to each other. It doesn't do anything but hurt the person even more. And it just, that's not really pouring life into them at all, actually. Okay, so where am I at? Okay. I had a little text that I wanted to read that I found somewhere, and I just love the way they worded it. It's called Are You Strong Enough to Be Gentle? Yeah, and so going down the last part of what they were saying, I really like what they said. Oh, here it is. It says, actually, gentleness is strength. Nothing is stronger. God is gentle, but he is not weak. It was the gentleness of Jesus that drew people to him. There's great friendship power and gentleness. Okay, then it's another part in there that says, yeah, so that's basically it, I guess, that I really wanted to point out is saying that being gentle doesn't mean that you're being weak, because God, he is gentle. We don't associate weakness with God because he's so powerful. Like, he's supreme, he's all powerful. So how can God be gentle, as he said he is, but so powerful? So it makes sense. I just really wanted to point out that. And then another scripture that really points out to me of God being gentle is God speaking in a small, still voice. And that is he speaks in a gentle, small, still voice through the Holy Spirit. And I believe that scripture is in, just a second, I think it is Jeremiah. That was the only place that it was actually in where he talks about that. But it makes complete sense, though. I mean, God is, he's all powerful, he's gentle. He says that I'm gentle and humble in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. So, let's go to that scripture. Let's find that part where God speaks in a gentle, still, small voice. is it Jeremiah or is it? Yes. No, it's not. Okay, it's 1 Kings chapter 18. And this is the story about Elijah after his dramatic victory over the prophets of Baal. We see here God was just telling Elijah after so many people had died. He told Jezebel, the wife of Ahab, he was seeking to kill him, and Elijah ran into the wilderness and collapsed in exhaustion. And God sent an angel with food and water to strengthen Elijah, told him to rest, and then sent to him Horeb, which I think is that's his servant. So and then when he's in the cave, Elijah tells God, like, he basically complains to God about the prophets that had been killed by Jezebel, and that he was the only one that had survived. And then I think God told him to stand on the mountain in his presence. then the Lord said this. He says something about that was he in the rain? Let's go to that scripture. I just remember that part and I didn't really understand it, but let's go there. It is Jeremiah. I just remember it saying that then there was a fire and then a still small voice, but God wasn't in the fire. It was saying something like that. But let's go to 1 Kings 18, 20 through 18 through 20. Let's just go there. 1 Kings, that's in the Old Testament. The 11th book, 18 through 20. Okay, is it? Yep, so then God tells Elijah to go stand on the mountain. And then the Lord, then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, the God who hear, who answers by fire. He is God. Okay, Wait a minute, just a second, guys. I just remember that part. Okay, let's go to it's 19 verses, I mean chapter 19, verse 2. Okay, it says, let's just start at verse 1, so this kind of goes back to what I was saying. It says, now Ahab told Jezebel everything that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life, Elijah, like one of them that I killed. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. While he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. At once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around, and there by his head were some bread baked on hot coals. So the angel of the Lord came to Elijah to strengthen him with food and things like that. To strengthen him at this time while he was alone. He traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of Horeb. Okay, so that's not his servant. Horeb is the mountain. Okay, so the whole point of what I'm saying is the Lord appears to Elijah. He tells Elijah to go out onto the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Okay, here it is. Verses. Chapter 19, verse 11, it says, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then the voice said to Elijah, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. Okay, so if we read that story, we go back. The Lord sends Elisha back to that place, and only he knew that the Lord was with him. He was with the presence of God was with Elijah, and that gave Elisha courage. And that's something too that I've been learning this past few months is that like when I pray, I always say, Lord, strengthen me. Strengthen me, in this area. Let your power strengthen me. But it's not really about God. It is. God is all powerful. God is almighty. But it's the same effect, if not greater, is knowing that the presence of God is with you. That's the only power that we need. Okay? Because He protects us. His desire is to help us to lean on him in dependence for everything. So if we access that faith and knowing that he's with us each and every moment of our lives, that is his power that's being revealed in us. So that's something that I have to grasp. And I'm just like, thank you, Father, for your presence that's always with me. And that's awesome. But yeah, so going back to that scripture, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain. So God was just saying that, was showing Elijah that, even though he is all powerful, even though he is in the mountains, he can tear up the rocks. He is, he can start an earthquake. It says in another scripture that, in Revelation 4, it's saying that the thunders and things like that is the voice of God. It comes from the heavens. So that's of God. So but he was more so trying to tell Elijah that, it's not about the powerful, dramatic things that I can do. That really helps you to, really know that I'm with you. It's about the things that I say to you. Not only am I a powerful God, basically, but I'm a gentle God also. So that really, really stuck with me. That's why I wanted to really read this because, it fits perfectly into the grand scheme of the gentleness of God being gentle, Okay, so let's talk a little bit more. And it says, after the fire came a gentle whisper. Okay, so God is he speaks to us in a gentle whisper, just like he did Elijah in that time. Oh, just a second. What am I doing? Okay, so yeah. So since God speaks in a still small voice, I mean, and it makes sense though, like I said, because God, he is a full of love. He is full of mercy and things like that. And like I say, you think of someone, if they yell at you, you're not gonna hear what they have to say. But in order to, for God to really, we have to have a close relationship in order for God to really speak to us, And what I was saying earlier about distinguishing between the law and grace is that the law is that way. The law is loud and says, thou, you shall do this. You shall not curse. You shall not. But God, his law to his, grace to us, since the law is done away with, his grace says, I love you. I understand. I forgive you when you trespass. That I'm helping you. He tells us those things in a gentle and quiet voice, which helps us to be able to keep his commandments because he's helping us to do that. Okay, so I hopefully that makes sense. Okay, let's go down. I think I'll be able to understand it a little bit. I mean, I think it's understood, but I want to just really break it down because those are two different kind of things, but they still, Okay, 1 Corinthians 4:21, then I'll go back to that. What does it say? 1 Corinthians 4:21. Chapter 4, verses 21 says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. What do you prefer? Shall I come to you with a rod of discipline, or shall I come in love and with a gentle spirit?" Okay, so hopefully that kind of, it just shows, like I said again about God, he disciplines us in love, but he disciplines us in a gentle way. He doesn't say, "Oh, you sin, you've done this," but he gently, through the Holy Spirit, like convicts us so that we can confess our sins to him, so he can forgive us and he can help us with that sin, or whatever it is that we're doing that doesn't produce the righteousness in us, Okay, so I really want to go back to that scripture that I was just in. Yeah, and you think about verse we what comes to mind is Zechariah 4:6. Just really, really fast, I just thought of this, is that God was saying that my work is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, meaning that it displays that the displays of power are not necessarily for God to work, but because God is God, he isn't just confined to just one single manner of communication to his people. He speaks to us in scripture, he speaks to us through people, through the word of God, all of these different ways. And I think about, like, with me, I'm still trying to figure out if I heard God speak to me in my head or it was in my heart, but I feel like he spoke to me in my heart, because the heart displays, like, our will, our personality, all of that, So God spoke to me in my heart, and a lot of people hear the word of God, in their minds or through TVs. He's not limited to different ways of communication when it comes down to us, but we have to be in a close relationship with him so that he can whisper his word to us, because of other things, of the idols of the world, if the enemy, which speaks to us in our minds too, with lies, if his words are louder than the word of God, then we're drowning out the word of God. We can't hear him, So that's why it's important that God tell us to be alert and to make sure that we continue to stay girded in his armor, in prayer and reading his word, because the enemy prowls around like a roaring lion constantly to try to deceive us and to get us to be trapped into sin, and God doesn't desire that for us. But if we're in a close communication, if we're in close relationship and we communicate with him on a regular, his voice will be a lot louder than any other voice. Just like with the close relationship, you re close relationships that we have, when you whisper to someone, you have to get really, really close in order for them to hear you, and usually that closeness creates intimacy, because whatever it is you're sharing your secrets to, or whatever, you trust this person and you don't want anyone else to know that. And God is the same way. He wants to have that close, intimate relationship with us like no other, so that we can be protected, so that he can guide us, so that he can lead us down the path that he wants us to go down, so that he can share great mystery, mysterious and wonderful things in his word, reveal it to us. And truly, when we are with God, we are just blessed and we are safe, and that's what he wants for us. But so being gentleness is not something that the world agrees with. We always say, "Oh, if you are, get your point across, and if you are louder than someone, or you, talk to someone, in this way." I'm gonna go to that scripture in just a minute, about being prideful. It says, what is it? I think I just said. Yeah, we did. Okay, let's James 3:17. Let's go to James chapter 3, verse 17. I think that may be the one. I should have put these verses in order. It says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace reap of harvest of righteousness. Verse 18, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. I love that last part. So yeah. Those things that the thought of speaking in a gentle manner is something that we all have to practice. I even have to practice that in my tone, of voice and things like that. So, I mean, even if you think about it, even if you are cursing, even if you are saying something mean, if you say it in a soft, gentle tone way, like it's non-offensive. It's non-offensive. And it's just people are able to like really hear you and receive what you have to say when it's in a gentle way versus when it's in a loud, offensive way. And it makes sense that why God speaks to us in a gentle and quiet way, because he knows our hearts, he knows our souls, you know, he knows what we desire and we thirst for, and that's for him. That's for him and his word. Yeah, so when my back am I off track? What was I doing? Okay, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 16. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 16. So we're going in the chapter we were in earlier. Which the book that we were in earlier, but we're just going at chapter 3 verse 16. Okay, okay, let's go to verse 15. It says, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Reverence or revered means just like looking at God in awe, not just because of what he can do for us, but just because he is all powerful, because he loves us, and just he's just awesome in all ways. So that's what that means. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was then put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. But this goes back to what I was just saying, that we can still, regardless if we're correcting someone, if you're cursing, whatever, if you do it in a gentle voice, in a peaceful way, you know, then that's what God desires. That's what will help a person to really hear you. That's what will make for peace. That's what would help people to really actually listen to you, to share the gospel to them. And that's the fruit that God wants us to have. And it doesn't mean that you have to be, you know, disagree with everything they say, or be weak and let them walk over you. Because remember, God, he is gentle, but he's strong also. You know, he's all powerful. But in order to get people to really hear you and to draw them closer to you, have to be gentle. You have to be gentle to them, because God is gentle in character, because God is friendly. God, you think about, I think about when he was, when Jesus was riding on the colt of a donkey and he was on his way to Golgotha to be crucified. He displayed gentleness then, you know, knowing that people were hurling all types of insults to him, but he strongly stood firm on that donkey, but also gentle, knowing that he's getting ready to die for humanity. He's getting ready to die for these same people that are hurling insults and yelling at him. And have betrayed him. You know, that's an example of gentleness. God, Jesus, I'm sorry, Jesus, another example I can remember in the word was Jesus when he was displaying, let's actually go there. That's a good scripture to start off with. I think it was John chapter 5. When Jesus saw. Okay, hold on. I think it was John. I think it was John 16, not 5. Hey, just a second. Yeah, so we're going to be going into John, John chapter 14. Well, basically all of this chapter, really, but we're going to start at chapter 5. It says, Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Then Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you for such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on evidence of the works themselves. So yeah, Jesus is displaying gentleness to the disciples. They at this point had been with him for maybe a year or so of his ministry, and he basically been repeating himself to them over and over again, telling them that he is God, like he is from the Father, but he you know, if they believe in God, then they should believe in him. He's telling them that he had prepared a place for him, for them. And because of the hardness of their heart, they couldn't understand that. So Jesus at that point could have just, like, in a spirit just of hatred or frustration, could have lashed out at them, just like Jesus could have lashed out at the people, at the Jews and the chief priests who were crucifying with him because of what they were doing to him. But he didn't say a word. But instead, in this case, Jesus basically just kept explaining himself, telling them that I'm the way, like, believe in me, like I'm in the Father, the Father's in me. You know, and I'm sure he said it in a very gentle, kind, loving way. It wasn't until after Jesus was resurrected that these disciples, once they received the Holy Spirit, then all of these things that Jesus had told them came back to their remembrance again. So that's just another example of God's of God and Jesus displaying gentleness. And so gentleness is not a weak thing. Gentleness is a beautiful thing. It helps other people because remember the things that we do that are out of the norm, it'll help other people to unconsciously do the same thing. I hope you guys understood what I was saying earlier about the old law and about the law of grace. The law was supposed to just been all of these religious things that God had said, you know, had said basically for the people in the Old Testament times, because they had to sacrifice animals for their sins and things like that. But since Jesus came, Jesus was the new agreement. Jesus was the new covenant, and that was of grace. So I was just using that example as like, you know, being harsh, like the commandments are burdensome and are harsh without grace, because we feel like we have to keep up with those things. And because we can't keep up with those things, you know, we lose all hope completely. But since Jesus says, look, I'm going to help make you to be more and more like me, I'm going to send the Spirit of my comforter, the Spirit that's going to help make you holy like me, I'm going to send my Spirit so that when you sin, my Spirit, the Holy Spirit that's in you, is going to intercede for you, and I'm going to forgive your sins, because it is I who work in you to will and to do the good pleasure that my Father prepared in advance for you to accomplish. You know, so it's just the same thing when I'm saying of, you know, harsh and gentle. You know, God gives us grace, which is undeserved favor, each and every moment of our lives. Even as we take our breath, even as we move, go about our day, it's a gift of grace that God gives us each and every day. You know, God is not limited to the natural things that he says, but through his scripture, he speaks through his prophets over and over to us, you know, and he's yeah, and they, you know, help us to, he speaks through his through his prophets, and they help us to remember the word along with the Holy Spirit, but they help give us examples of how we should live so that the mistakes they made, that we can do better, you know. But and I think, like I said earlier, that's how people you know, stray away from the word, because they just see the word as just the law, as this religious legalism that's going on. But really, God is grace, God is love, and he understands. He came down from heaven as a form of a baby just so he can understand for 33 years what it was like to be human, what it was like to be sad, to be in pain, to have temptation, all of these things. It even says in his word, he says that for everything that you've experienced, I've experienced the same thing. You know, so he, being a God, being fully God and fully man, if we come to him in our time of need, we come to him in our time of temptation, he above all understands what we are going through. So yeah, the Spirit being gentle is definitely effective. It's kind of right along with meekness. Meekness is more of, it's still like gentleness, but it's more of like humility, you know. And like I said, we know what the Lord says, that blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. And that's what Jesus was. He was meek. He was humble. He was gentle. He was loving and all of those things. So, guys, I hope this was a blessing to you. It's 58 minutes, and I will be on hopefully in a little bit. But if not, then I'll see you guys tomorrow. God bless.